Let us offer our consecration to the Lord. Lord, we offer up to you this day as we finish this first week of ordinary time. Let us continue to be filled with your Spirit. Help us to draw closer to you and to turn away from those things that lead us away from you. Let us be mindful of all that you call us to do in service to you, especially during this election year. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Well, you may be wondering why, out of the blue, I happen to mention it's an election year during this prayer. Well, it has all to do with today's first reading. It comes to us from 1 Samuel, just as all the other readings this week have. And it is 1 Samuel chapter 8, and it's where Samuel is dealing with the people who are looking for a king. Now, at the time, the Hebrews, Israel, the nation of Israel, has what are known as judges to be their leaders. And you can know the famous judges that are in the Bible, people like Gideon and Joshua and even Moses. These weren't kings. They were leaders of the Jewish people, and they were able to do what the Jews were looking for. And of course, at the time, actually, it's they're Hebrews. The term Jew comes from Judah, which doesn't really appear on the scene until after the reign of David, and actually even after Solomon. Judah comes from the nation of Judah, which is formed when the one nation of Israel splits into two, just so you know. But the words can also be interchangeable. The nation of Israel, the Jews, the nation of Judah, even though they tend to mean slightly different things, you can use the words interchangeably as well. So anyway, what's happened is they have these judges that are leading them. And at this point, you have the prophet Samuel, and the people want a king. Well, why would they want a king? And that's an important distinction, because they want to be a nation that is working with other nations in the world. They don't want to be as isolated as they are. They're looking for that political expediency that they could find in their own mind with a king. Well, here's a problem. The problem that Samuel explains is, well, you don't understand this. Because once you have a king, then everything changes. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to have a king who's going to lead battles. That means your sons will be called into battle. You're going to have a king that's going to need taxes, and you're going to lose your lands for the sake of taxes. And he starts to explain all that, but they still want a king. Well, one of the questions you may ask is, what's the real issue with having a king or not having a king? And it really has to deal with all of that which I just explained. You may say everything will be fine, but your nation will change under a king. And then consistently, well, I want you to think of that today. Because when our nation, the United States, was put together, it was put together with a different form of government that was available at the time. And at the time, you had kings, and you had this idea of the divine right of kings. I had a wonderful interview with Robert Riley, who is a great scholar, and it was wonderful. I could only use a small part of the interview in a printed interview I wrote out, but he was just wonderful. And he explained where the divine right of kings came from. And the idea of the divine right of kings actually came from the idea that is not a Catholic idea, even though I believe it started with a Catholic monk, and that is God is God, he can do anything he wants. And that led to the idea that, you know, God can save who he wants and he condemn who he wants, which is also true to a point, but we don't believe it to the same level as other Christians. And God can do what he wants. And there is no order to God from this line of thought, which, again, is something we as Catholics don't believe. Our teaching comes from actually Aristotle and the teaching of natural law. And so we believe that God has an order, and natural law reflects that order, and therefore that brings up this idea of there's an order in how we should live. Well, the old idea, according to Robert Riley, of divine right of kings is built on the former idea I just described to you, not the latter, which is God can do whatever he wants, and so a king can do whatever he wants, or a monarch can do whatever he or she wants. And that's an important distinction, and this is what Samuel is warning against. We're going to talk more on the other side of the break. You're listening to St. Anthony Overnight from St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts. So I have a suggestion for you. If you ever want to attend Mass at St. Anthony Parish in Alston, I'd like to extend to you a standing invitation to our 10 o'clock a.m. Mass every single Sunday. So if you're looking for a church to call home and you weren't sure how to go about test driving one, so to speak, the standing invitation allows you to do just that. So here's what to do. You may want to come to church and you say, well, I don't want to put anything in the collection because I'm not ready to donate yet. At the same time, I don't want to just show up hands hanging. So here's what to do. Write the word radio down on a piece of paper and put that into the collection. Now, that only goes for St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts. Doesn't go for any other church or parish, so please keep that in mind. So if you don't currently call a local parish home and you want to sit in on a Sunday Mass, this standing invitation is for you. Come on down to St. Anthony Parish, 43 Holton Street, Alston, Massachusetts, 02134. Conveniently located just a stone's throw from Soldiers Field Road and the Mass Pike. Please don't throw the stone. What's with all these stones coming from 43 Holton Street or someone? What are they doing? Yeah, please don't do that. No throw, no stone throwing, please. I'll let you, with the one exception, if you want to make ripples in the Charles River, which is on the other side of Soldiers Field Road, feel free. So anyway, no stone throwing, please. Okay, so we're talking about this powerful message, and that is that Samuel, through God, or God through Samuel, rather, had that backwards, is explaining to them, if you want to have a king, yes, you may realize this lends to a greater position in the world, but kings are not judges. And in the judges, remember, from the time of Moses, there is this egalitarian society. That's one of the things that the Jews had. They had this egalitarian society, and you can see that extremely powerfully in just the way they lived and their laws. Like, if someone were to, if you were to lend, or how does this work? Let me put this together. You lend someone money, and they give to you their tunic, their cloak as collateral, that's fine. But when sunset happens and it gets colder, you have to return the cloak to them so that they can use it. And that's part of the egalitarian system. But when you start having a king, that you lose that. And now you have a hierarchical system. And in a hierarchical system, now you have to do what the king says. And this is what Samuel is warning about. And this is one of the issues that the in the Declaration of Independence and in the Constitution, this is what the founding fathers rejected, was the idea that the king could do whatever he wanted. And you know, you had no taxation without representation. You had the issue, I remember, the Stamp Act, and all these things that could be given to the colonists, whether they like it or not, here. And of course, I'm from Massachusetts, so we know this extremely well. And kings can do that. Whereas if you have an egalitarian system, it doesn't work that way. And so after much study, the founding fathers came up with this republic, democratic republic that we have, that takes away the divine right of kings and puts the power into the hands of the people, in theory. So when you are looking at who you want for a candidate this year, and I don't get into the politics. I'm not getting into the politics. I know there are priests out there who believe that I should tell you who you should vote for. I don't. It's against the law, by the way, in the United States. But the other thing is, my word has a greater weight, according to some people. So, well, the priest said we should vote for, you know, whomever. And, you know, that's not fair. As I explained to my people, my parishioners, it's for all of you to discuss that. And on Tuesday nights, we have this great discussion group where that can come up. But all everyone to discuss this and decide who would be the best candidate. And as you may or may not know, I often write in my vote, as I did in the last election. And therefore, I usually don't take a side of Republicans or the Democrats. I kind of go third party or, you know, or more. So, but that's the understanding, to think very carefully of what is the fruit of who you want to vote for, not only what interests that person may help you with, but what is the collateral effect of these effects. So these are things you have to look at in preparation for an election, and you can see that reflected very well in this reading today from Samuel. We'll be back from 1 Samuel. We'll be back tomorrow. No, we'll be back on Monday. So have yourself a blessed day, and we will see you then. Take care. I want to call your attention to Catholic TV, which offers great faith-filled, family-friendly programming 24 hours a day. You can find your cable channel at www.getcatholictv.com, and you can watch online, on the free apps, or check out the YouTube channel. Daily Mass, Rosaries, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Our Lady of Perpetual Help Novena are all available online and on demand. Check out CatholicTV.com.